Hello, and welcome to another message brought to you by Christian Fellowship Assembly, located in Allendale, Michigan at 9930 64th Avenue. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 27, Allendale, Michigan 49401, and our internet address is www.cfachurch.org. Here's your speaker, Pastor Des Walter.
I have enjoyed my stay here over this weekend, and it has been a great blessing to me. You people have blessed me, they always do each time I come here. So this morning I'm going to speak on the subject of spiritual evangelism, because I believe that there is too much of our activity that is not in the spirit, but rather just in our natural abilities. So there is a spiritual attachment to evangelism, and I want to share that with you this morning. We're going to begin in chapter 10, and verse 9, which is a verse that everybody here would know. We're going to go back to verse 6 just to get the connection here, because the Apostle Paul is speaking and he says, but the righteousness which is of faith. So there's a righteousness which is of faith. There's a righteousness which you can produce in yourself. And many times that's all that we ever produce, is a kind of righteousness. We don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't run out with bad women, all of these things, and we think, well, you know, we're doing pretty well. The fact is, there is a righteousness which is a faith, which is beyond anything that you and I are capable of doing, because this is what God does through us. God did not put you on this earth and tap you on the shoulder and say, go out there and try and be good. What he did was, he put himself on the inside and said, just give me a chance and I will express myself as you.
Amen.
And that Christ that dwells in us has the power to do that. And Christ has never, never sinned. Therefore, if Christ dwells in you, and that is your identity, you have never sinned. Thank you, Lord. While you're trying to work that one out, let's look here at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. You see, for most people, everything they want is in heaven. Yeah. That's why they're breaking their neck to get there. There's too many Christians that are just dying to get to heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, help us. Who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Well, a lot of Christians think that, you know, you've got to die first and then you start your eternal life. I don't think so.
No.
Eternal life does not have a beginning.
Right.
Your eternal life had no beginning. In fact, your life, full stop, had no beginning.
That's right.
You are in God.
Yes.
From the ages past. And if God had a beginning, that was your beginning.
Yes, sir.
But God is eternal.
That's right.
Therefore, you are eternal. So, what saith it, verse 8? The word is very close to you, even in your mouth and in your heart. So it's a word. That's a logos.
Yes.
That's not a verse in the Bible. That's the logos. And the logos is the total mind will and purpose of God expressed. That's what the Logos is. Everything that God had in his mind concerning the man is the Logos.
Yes.
And that's in you.
Yes.
Every one of you.
Yes.
So it says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in your heart. So it can be in your mouth, but it may not be in your heart. Because you speak out of your natural mind. And this is what many of us do, and I've done this myself. I preached a certain thing for over 10 years, and then one day suddenly discovered I didn't believe it. There you go. That's a confession. I thought I believed it. In my head I believed it. But in my consciousness it was not there. So there's a word that you need to have, which is in your heart. Your heart is not the pump that pumps the blood around your body. In the Bible, the heart speaks of your consciousness.
Yes.
It's that which you are aware of that you do not have to think about.
Yes.
It doesn't come out of your natural mind. You just know that you know that you know. Nobody has to tell you, you know. That's your consciousness. And that's what we have ignored. Many Christians have ignored that. So it says it's in your heart that that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart. So there are two things here. First of all, there is a confession.
Yes.
Amen.
Now you have to understand that in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, that the wisest man on the earth said, the power of death and life is in your tongue.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing this?
Yes.
What you say, be careful, because you will either speak life or you will speak death. You get up in the morning and you've got a bit of a runny nose and a bit of a sniffle. I think I'm getting the flu. And you've got it. Why? Because you have confessed it. And you give right to that which has no right and no life in itself. But you give it existence. I want to tell you this happens in all sickness. You go to a doctor and he said, I'm sorry, sir, but you've got cancer. You go home and you say to your family, I've got cancer. Cancer has no reality attached to it at all. It cannot be real because God never created it. But once you confess it with your mouth, the power of death and life is in your tongue. So you're giving it the right to kill you. Come on, you understand this? Because this is important. So it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be made whole. The word saved is a kind of one of those religious words that you make it mean whatever you want. You know, saved, oh, that means I'm going to heaven. It doesn't say anything about heaven, but that's what you think.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those words, you adjust its meaning according to what you want. It means to be made whole.
Yes, sir.
Spiritually and physically.
Yes, sir.
So, we have here now a concept of getting saved or being made whole. It starts with a confession. A confession is something that you declare. And this declaration is very important because it says here, if you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the man says, I believe. The preacher taps him on the back and said, God bless you, you're born again, now you're going to go to heaven when you die.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Are you hearing this?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Because the word believe means a function of the mind. And I want to tell you, you can believe whatever you want. You believe it's wrong to tell a lie? It is wrong to tell a lie. But how many of you can tell a lie? You all can. So you see, what you believe is not going to work for you. You can believe it's wrong, but you can still do it. No problem. So this word believe then has to have a far deeper meaning than just believing something that you're thinking in your mind. So the concept is that if you confess with your mouth, what? That Jesus Christ is Lord in your life. This is where it starts. It's a confession. It says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the King in his kingdom that is in me. You will never have anything to do with the kingdom out there, and you'll never be building the kingdom out there until you build it in here. And here's the reason why for many Christians the kingdom has no real interest for them. Because you can't see it. They say, well, I can't see any kingdom of God out there. Of course not, because you can't see it in here. But the prophet Isaiah, one day, he had a vision. And the Bible says he saw the Lord. That's the King. High and lifted up. And he was in the temple. What, in Jerusalem? No. He was in this temple. And that's the temple in which God is in today. That's your body. Don't you know your body is the temple of God? 1 Corinthians 6:19. And the Apostle Paul said that to help us to understand that we must see the King in here.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And until that happens, there is no being made whole.
That's right.
You see, it's not give your heart to Jesus, believe he died for you on the cross, ask him to come into your heart, now you're born again, you go to heaven. No, you have to establish the kingdom in here before God ever becomes the ruler and the King over you. And we wonder why we're getting sick all the time. That's because you got the wrong King running the show there. You see? Because the living soul is the woman from the Garden of Eden. But I want you to know that every one of us became the living soul,
yes,
men and women.
Yes.
We are all that woman.
Right.
We're all that woman. And so if we are that woman, we are under the control of the carnal mind.
Yeah.
And if you want to really live for Christ, you've got to change the authority over your life and your body. And that'll get rid of your sickness. So it is that you must believe that Jesus Christ is the King in his kingdom here. And then you believe in your heart. Believing in your heart is your consciousness. That's what it is. Because it's out of the heart that every action, every word, and every thought comes. It comes out of the heart. That is your true consciousness, which does not always agree with your head, because that's your carnal mind running that one up there. So now it says, for I page just gone over verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. So it's with your consciousness that you are believing to produce the righteousness of God in you. It's in your consciousness. If it's not in your consciousness, it will not work. if it's just in your head. And too many Christians today are just running on their carnal mind.
Yes, sir.
And I want to tell you, there's a veil over that mind.
Yes.
That's the mind of the nations today, because the prophet said that net was cast over all the nations on the earth. So, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's the confession that seals the deal.
Yes, sir.
It's your confession. And so today, I want to share with you what spiritual evangelism really is. And I started with this just so that you would understand that giving your heart to Jesus does not transform anybody's life. Not mine, not yours, not anybody else's. And as I travel the world, the saddest thing is to see so many people, you know, they wear the T-shirt, says, I'm a Christian, but they don't even know what it means. And unfortunately, the world looks at them and says, that's religion for you, see? You see, they do this, they get drunk, they do all kinds of things, but they're a Christian. So they say the church is just a waste of time. Let's become a Muslim or something else. And there are many Christians doing that today, which is a strange thing, is it not? So let's go a little deeper into this question of evangelism by faith and by the Spirit. I'm taking you back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And here the prophet is being lifted up by the Spirit, and he is dropped into a valley. So it says here, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of dry bones. This was a cemetery. They weren't buried. The bones were all just on the surface, you see. So this is a little different. But this prophet is the prophet of God. He was actually one of the priesthood. And he was taken away captive with the rest of Israel. But he was an amazing man, because he was the one that helped Israel during this time. But now God is teaching him something. So he's picked him up, this is a vision, and drops him in the valley of dry bones. Because God says, I'm going to teach you something. So it says here, he caused me to pass by them round about. So he gave him a little tour of inspection. So he's walking around this valley, and all he could see is all these dry bones. This is not a very exciting little journey, that one, wasn't? Just looking at dry bones. I have been in the museum in Rwanda, and I have seen this great heap of skulls, bones, a whole great heap of them. I'm telling you, there were so many people killed in 1994 in Rwanda, in that great genocide. And the people, they still say to me, Brother, we want to make sure that this will never happen again. And I said, well, you better listen if you want to know how to stop it happening again. Because all of the ingredients that brought about the genocide are still there today.
Yes,
and that is tribalism. It means that there are two major tribes in that country. And in all of the African countries, the problem is not just with the government. It's always with the tribes. And one tribe rises up against the other, and they will wipe each other out as quick as look at them. So, it says here then, it says that there were very many bones in the open valley, and lo, they were very, very dry. Why were they dry? Well, they were dry because there was no water. And they were dry because these bones represented people. And they were dry because nobody had brought the water of life to them. That's why they were very, very dry. Nobody had brought the water of life. Jesus Christ stood up in the temple one day and said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being would flow a river of living water. There'll be no dry bones wherever that river is flowing. There'll be no dry bones. Because the water of life will be there. And there'll not be a dry bone that's left." So it says here, God is asking him a question. Now I'm going to change the tense here because in the Hebrew it is in a different tense to our English language. And so it says here, he says unto me, "Son of man, do these bones live? Do these bones live?" Not can they live, do these bones live? "But they're dry, Lord, they're very, very dry. Why are you asking me, do these bones live? Because I can see they're all dead." But he's asking the question, "Do these bones live?" And the prophet, he replies and says, "Lord, you know them." Know what? You know these dry bones. How come you know these dry bones? Because you brought those bones together in a mother's womb somewhere, sometime. You were the one that brought all these bones together and put that body together the way it needed to be. You know them, Lord. And you understand who they are. These are living people from God's point of view. Why? Because what God creates lives forever and it can never die.
Yes, sir.
The bones were not created. They were formed.
Yes, sir.
So our body was formed in our mother's womb. But God, you know these bones. That's what the prophet said. Because he was the one, before they were ever born, God knew them. Because these bones represent people. So it says here then, "I want you to prophesy upon these bones. I don't want you to hold a prayer meeting. I don't want you to hold some special kind of crusade and call them out to the front and pray for them so they get saved. Now, I want you to prophesy over these bones." What does it mean to prophesy? Well, of course, if you want to become a prophet, you can go to the school. They've got schools here in the States, you know. You can become a prophet.
Sure.
Pay them the money, and away you go. You got a certificate that says you're a prophet. They've come to Australia, I can tell you. I've listened to them. I'm not sure how much of a prophet they are, but, you know, some of them can give you your horoscope, you know. They'll tell you all about what you did and what you're going to do. And, you know, it's almost, well, it's very close to a horoscope anyway. That's not what a prophet does. A prophet's job is to become the mouthpiece for God. That's all. Become a mouthpiece for God. Can you do that?
Yes.
Of course you can. Have you got a mouth?
Yes.
Can you speak?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard you before. Couldn't shut you up. I mean, So you see, you've got a mouth. I want to tell you, your body was given to you for one reason only. That was to become the means of expression of the Christ that dwells in you.
Yes.
And all we just tend to give the world is the expression of what Des Wilder is. But I'm telling you, your body was given to you to become the expression of the Christ.
Yes, sir.
So he says here then, I want you to prophesy. I don't want you to go out and preach a sermon to them.
Right.
I don't want you to go out and read 10 verses out of the Bible to them. I want you to prophesy.
Yes.
Because that's the only thing that's going to have any effect upon these dry bones. See, and that's what we look around and we say, well, they're all dry bones out there. And they can't even hear God. What's the good of, you know, preaching to them? No good at all. Forget it. Prophesy.
Yes.
And then he's going to tell the prophet, what do you prophesy? I'm going to tell you, the Lord said. Listen. He says, prophesy upon these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, you have heard the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Not you will hear it. You have heard it.
Yes.
Why? Because before they were born, God knew them.
Yes, he did.
Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. I've used this text so much this year. But I want you to look at it. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. And what does it say? God says, I knew you before you were even conceived in the womb. I knew you. Your life did not begin when you were born into this world. You were alive before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. God said, I knew you. Those dry bones, God knew them before they were even born. And God knows them today. And God can speak to those dry bones. Because these dry bones represent those people out there that we would call the lost. They're not lost. Because I'm going to tell you that every one of them one day is going to bow the knee to Christ. Every one of them is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every one of those dry bones. Bar none. Nobody's going to miss out. But we say, well, they're not interested in the gospel. I mean, you know, it's no good inviting them to church. They probably go to sleep or whatever. I don't think so. But you and I have to learn to prophesy.
Yes.
Our evangelism has been very, very hit and miss. You know, sometimes we bring somebody along to a meeting and, you know, they might respond to God. That's wonderful. But what about all the rest? Oh, well, they're not interested, you know, so it's no good bringing them along. Well, I'm not asking you just to bring them to the church. That's not what I'm asking you to do. God's saying, prophesy.
Yes.
But you've never done that. You've never prophesied. I prophesy before I have a meeting. Before I preach. Why? Because I say, Father, these are your children. You know every one of these people here. You know exactly what they need. And I say, hear the word of the Lord. So I know that you're going to hear the word of the Lord. The prophet was told, prophesy. Hear the word. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Or you have heard the word of the Lord. And so he said, the Lord God unto these, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I have caused breath to enter into you. Not I will, I have. These bones have already lived.
Yes.
Why? Before they were even conceived in the womb, God knew them.
Amen.
And not only did he know them, but according to Jeremiah 1 verse 5, it says that God sanctified them. I said God sanctified all those dry bones. Are you hearing this? What does that mean? He set them apart for himself. Don't you tell me they're all lost. Don't tell me all those dry bones, there's no chance of them ever coming to know God. Because I tell you, they have already known the voice of God. God knew them. And he was the one that put that body together for them to bring them into existence on this earth. So it says here, I will cause, or I have caused, breath to enter into you, and you have lived. Not you will live, you have lived. You have lived. And they lived in God. Yes. Are you hearing this?
Yes. Yes, amen.
Those people out there that you think are lost, who have no interest in the things of God, would never come to a church any more than, you know, committing suicide. I mean, they're just not interested in anything to do with God. Those people out there know God. He's already spoken to them. Before they were born, they were in God. Oh, God, help us today. I'm talking about spiritual evangelism. I'm not talking about looking at people and seeing what they do and trying to make an assessment as to whether they ever might want to receive Christ into their life or whatever. I'm trying to give you another picture today, because this has helped me so much, what God taught Ezekiel. So it says here, verse 6, I have laid sinew upon them, and I have covered them with skin, and I even put my breath in them. And they do live. They have an existence in God. They may not know that. They may not have any idea about God. They may not even have a desire to follow God nor anything, but I will tell you, they know God because God knows them. Before they were born, they were in God.
Yes, amen.
Why are the dry bones today? Because the people with the river of life have never taken the water out to them.
Sure.
Come on.
True.
You see, we're the problem, not the people out there.
That's right.
And because we had an idea that they could not respond to God, they didn't want to respond to God, and from our point of view, probably never will respond to God. We have ignored them.
Yes.
Oh, God, help us. So it says here in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. It was an earthquake. There was a noise. And what happened? It was the noise of bones. And what were they doing? It says here, the bones came together, bone to his bone. What's this talking about? Is this talking about putting another body together? I don't think so. You see, when God created one man in Genesis 1:26, he created all of humanity. You understand this? All those people out here, out there, the people that we've said were lost, they were in that man in creation. Are you hearing this? Oh, God, help us today because I'm trying to give you a picture that I think has not really been reflected in our consciousness. We've said, the lost, oh, well, they don't want God. And you can't make them want God. I mean, we can't go out and lasso them and say, come on, I'm not going to let you go until you give your heart to Jesus. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a spiritual evangelism. And how do you do that? You evangelize by prophesying. And that's why you've got to understand that before you were born, God knew you. It's got nothing to do with just being born on this earth. It has to do with the fact that every man, every woman, every child out there came out of God. Everyone. The Bible says God so loved the world. What, do you mean to say God loves Hitler? Yes, he does. You mean God loves Idi Amin? Yes, he does. You mean God loves Bin Laden? Yes, he does. See, God loves the entire world. There's nobody excluded from the love of God. Now, most churches probably would challenge that. I know you don't challenge it here, but most churches would challenge that. Say, no, you can't tell me that God loves Hitler or God loves some of these bad. What about these murderers today, you know? Some have committed 2, 3, or 4 murders. Does God love them? Of course he does. Why? They were in that first man that was created. And he was Christ Jesus. And every last one of them was in him. And they are still in him today. Because those that God put in him are still in him today, and forever they shall be. Nobody is dropped out of the bucket. Nobody. Everybody is still in Christ. Oh, Lord, help us today. Father, we need something to happen with our mind. In fact, we want you to cancel out this carnal mind, Father, and get rid of the veil that's over there. And let us see things as you see them, Father. That's what we want. And I say today, I want, Father, for you, touch these people now and cause their consciousness. I said your consciousness to become awakened to the fact that there are no dead people.
Yeah.
Either dead physically or spiritually. There's no dead people. Nothing dies in the spirit world. And that means that whoever was in Christ Jesus in the beginning is alive today.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. You see? So this is very important. Now let's go a little further. And it says, when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Oh, dear. There was no breath in them. But now the bones have come together. What does this mean? The bones came together. Oh, well, you see, here's the leg bone. It's got to be attached to the thigh bone. And the thigh bone's got to be attached to, I don't know, or there's another bone there somewhere. You see, is this what he's talking about? No, sir, this is not what he's talking about. The dry bones out there belong in here. They belong in here because these are their bones. Come on. When God created that first man, all of creation was in him. There is no other place or person from which anybody could come in terms of creation, except out of God. Every person out there has come in that first man that God created. They were in Christ. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
And you call them the lost, you say, well, they got no interest in God. We just have to forget about them. Maybe God will do something somehow, someday. No. He says, prophesy, and I will bring the bones together. That means the bones out there should be in here.
Amen.
Come on. Oh, Lord, help us. Because we are part of the bones. We're part of the bones. You see, there's only one body of Christ.
Only one.
Only one. Not 100, not 1,000. Only one. And are you part of that body of Christ?
Yes.
And so are they. But they're dry today. Why? Because we have not taken the water of life out to them. We have not yet understood spiritual evangelism. You see, I travel around the world each year, have done now for quite a number of years. And so as I go into many different countries and different cultures and different languages and different face colors and so on, it's interesting when you start to meet the people. And in some of those countries, particularly, you know, in India, there's about 1.2 billion people in that country. Just imagine it. In fact, it's hard to imagine the number of people that are over there. But you just need to get on one of their trains to go somewhere. And you'll see them hanging out the side there. I mean, the thing is jam-packed. You can hardly breathe inside there. And then they're all clamoring on. They're just on the step, hanging on to something, whatever they can, hanging out there. They got to kind of lean in when they go past the posts. There's people, it's wall-to-wall people over there. But the majority of them are out there. So I go and I speak to a group of people, maybe 100 people, but there's 100,000 of them out there, but there's 100 people in here. Well, we're happy because, you see, God loves us and we've given our heart to Jesus and we belong to Christ and now everything's wonderful. But the dry bones are still dry bones. And you see, this is what's in my heart. And I'm sharing with you today out of the concern that's in my heart for those people. And I believe that if we want to see the kingdom of God established on this earth, we're going to have to change our ideas. We've got to start to see the dry bones as a part of ourselves. There's only one body of Christ. Only one. And therefore those bones have got to come together. Then you'll need a bigger place. Well, I don't think so. Because it doesn't mean that they've got to come and join your group here. It means they've got to find the Christ of their true identity. But you see, we didn't look at them like that. We say they're the lost. The lost. All right, let's see now. It says here that they may live. Verse 10. So he said, I prophesied. This is the prophet. I prophesied as he commanded me. And what happened? The breath came into them.
Yes.
You mean to tell me it's that easy? You mean to tell me that those dead people out there, all I have to do is prophesy and the breath will come into them? Yes, sir. Why? If God breathes on anything, it'll live, I'll guarantee you. You see? If God breathes on something, well, how's God going to breathe on them? He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to prophesy. Oh, God, you mean to say that we are the cog in this thing? That if we don't do something, those people are going to be the dry bones forever and ever out there? Oh, Lord, help us. God says, prophesy. Speak to those bones. Don't go out there and preach to them. Don't go out there and give them a New Testament. Don't go out there and give them a tract that tells them how to give their heart to Jesus. Prophesy. Oh, Lord, help us today. Are you hearing something from God?
Yes.
Because this is so important. And the breath came into these bones. And it says, and they lived. And they stood up on their feet. And listen to this. They were a mighty army. Oh, God, help us today. A mighty army is waiting to be established to take the kingdom of God and to bring it into function on this earth. And all God is waiting for is for people who will prophesy. Prophesy. You say, but you know, I'm not much good at preaching and I don't know too much about the Bible. And you know, I can't quote verses like you can, you know, tell people where it is and you can quote it like that. See, I can't do that. So I'm not much good in evangelism. Hey, can you speak?
Yes.
If you can speak, you can prophesy.
Yes.
And when you prophesy, God is going to do what he said. Jesus Christ never did a miracle. Well, I'm sorry, Jesus never did a miracle. It was the Christ in him that did the miracle. Because Jesus was the body. That's why you've become the Jesus of today. You are the Jesus of today. And as a result, you are the body. So before I do anything in the realm of relieving somebody from some sickness or some disability that they may have, whatever it is, before I say, Father, what do you want me to do? I'm the body. Before, I used to pray for people. Well, what did I do to pray? I say, God, I want you to bless this person. I want you to heal them. They've got cancer, Father. I want you to destroy the power of this thing in her, in that person, and destroy this cancer and get rid of it, Father. And then one day I woke up and I said, now this is all wrong. He's the master, I'm the servant. But I'm telling him what to do. So I never do that anymore. People say, would you pray for me? I'm sick. I said, well, I'll help you, but I'm not going to pray for you. If I pray for you, I'm only going to ask God to do something, and I'm not going to ask him to do something. I say, what do you want me to do? And when I do what he tells me to do, he does what he says he will do. He said to the prophet Ezekiel, prophesy. And Ezekiel said, okay. So he prophesied. What happened? The breath came into those bones. Oh, God, isn't that something? This is spiritual evangelism.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, help us. Then he said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These are not some foreign people out there that God doesn't know. These are all the house of Israel. This is the Israel of God, not just the Jewish people of that nation. This is the Israel of God, of which we are all a part.
Yes, sir.
And they are a part of the Israel of God.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, help us. You see, we're not talking about some foreign people that God knows nothing about. We're not talking about people that have rejected Christ and God says, oh, well, we're finished with them. You know, just let them go to hell anyway. It doesn't matter, you know, because we've got nothing to do with them. There's nobody in this world like that. There's nobody that is not included in the house of Israel. Come on. You know, we've just got to have a change in our whole concept of our mind. We talk about the saved and we talk about the lost. And the lost are lost and the saved are saved. That's what we think. But I have an idea that many that we call saved today have not really had a genuine experience in God. They have just believed something in their head. And they think that that qualifies them. I tell you, when I was 10 years of age, I gave my heart to Jesus according to what they taught me in those days. And he said to me, my Sunday school teacher said to me, I want you to give your heart to Jesus today. I said, okay, well, what do I do? He said, kneel down there and say the sinner's prayer after me. And I did exactly what he said. And I confessed my sin and I told God I was sorry, you know, that I'd kicked the cat and a few other things. And I want to tell you, and I'm not just making fun of this, I want to tell you, nothing changed really in my life. And I suspect that so many people have done the same thing, but they say, oh, I'm a Christian. Now, yes, so many years ago I gave my heart to Jesus, so that makes me a Christian. No, it doesn't. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the King ruling and reigning in this body. That's what you've got to start with.
Yes.
And I never said anything about, they never told me anything about that when I was 10 years of age. And I became a pastor on the basis of that. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, of course I'm a Christian. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 10.
Yeah.
You see? I became a pastor. Oh, Lord, help me. And it wasn't until sometime, I don't know when, that a change came into my life. When God took me right out of the ministry, took me out of the church, and God doesn't have to do this to everybody, you know, but he just took me right out because he knew I had to get clear. I had to have a rebuild, a rethink, if you like. I had to come up with some totally new picture of what this salvation was all about.
Yes, yes.
And in 2 years, I think something happened, and I will not put a date upon that and nor a time, but something changed in me, and I began to function in a different way. It wasn't just a change of something in my head. My body began to respond in a different way. So it says here, they became a mighty army. And then he said to me, this is verse 11, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we have been outcast from those that have got life. It's like visiting a cemetery. You don't go in there to have a conversation with somebody. They're all dead in there. So when we mix with the so-called lost out there, we don't go out there to have a conversation with them. They're dead. They're not part of us. We're a different species of people altogether. That's what we thought. And suddenly God says, they are part of the house of Israel.
Amen.
They're part. They are part of this group of people in here this morning, and those bones and these bones must come together.
Amen.
They must come together. Our bones are dried, our hope is lost, and we are cut off from everybody. Nobody wants anything to do with us. And I'll guarantee you that if you could talk to some of those people out there and they would be honest, they'd say, oh, you guys, you don't care about us.
That's right.
As far as you're concerned, we're lost.
Yeah.
Even if they go to church, like if they go to the Catholic Church, well, they're still lost. You know that, don't you? Yeah. See? And yet I'm telling you that I minister to a Catholic group in the Philippines. There's 1,000 of them over there in this one fellowship. And they have seen all the miracles of Jesus. It's an amazing group. They're Catholics. The front of that building, like as you're facing on that wall there, there's a great big cross about 10 feet tall. And there's Jesus hanging on that cross. And there's the Virgin Mary over here. But I want to tell you, there was not a more spiritual people that I have talked to than those people. They're Catholics. They've got nothing to do with God. They're Catholics. No, sir. I'm telling you, they know God more than many Protestants.
Yes.
There is a dignity about them. There is a dignity about their concept of God. they have a little room when they come in, before they go into the... And this is not... I'm not talking about a church. This is just a big auditorium that's been built for this group alone. It was built especially for them. It's under the auspices of the Catholic Church, but they don't actually run it. But they sent a couple of spies in there while I was there, because they heard that this crazy guy was in there preaching, you see. And you wanted to make sure. Well, I never said anything bad about the Catholic Church at all. In fact, it was a real eye-opener the first time I went there. And the miracles that I've seen happen there. There was a man, actually the mayor of the city was in hospital, asked me to go and pray with him. And while I'm there, there's a lady, she had twisted her ankle right there in the hospital, in this room where this mayor was lying. She just went over on her ankle, see, and she was crying with the pain. And I said to her, I said, you know, if you could just get your mind off that foot just for a few minutes, I said, I think God could fix that for you. And so she said, but it hurts. I said, I know, I understand. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, but hey, give me your arm. So on the side of her crook foot, I took her arm. I said, let's go for a walk. So we walk. This is down the corridor of a hospital, and I'm taking her weight as we're walking. Then I start to sing, How Great Thou Art. And we're just walking down there, and she's hobbling, you know, and she... But I began to sing, How Great Thou Art. And she starts to sing with me. And so we're both walking down the corridor of a hospital. She's singing and I'm singing, How Great Thou Art. And she's hobbling along, hanging on to me. But every step she's taken, there's a little less and a little less weight and a little less weight, until in the end, she let my arm go and she's walking. I said, Hallelujah. You see how simple things happen?
Yeah.
You know, we make a big deal out of some things, and especially when it comes to healing. I don't believe in healing, see? That's why I don't go around trying to heal people. I don't believe in healing because I don't believe in sickness. And if I believe in healing, then I've got to believe in sickness. I don't believe in sickness. God never created sickness. Sickness has no reality, and its origin is always in the carnal mind. That's where it all starts. You see that woman? When she went over on her ankle, there was a pain there. And the brain said, Man, you're going to have some pain now. Look, you see what you got? You could even have broken a bone in your ankle, you know? I mean, this could be, you know, it'll probably take 6 months to get this thing fixed again. And she's walking down the corridor of the hospital, and just like that, her foot is healed. When I say healed, God just made it to be as it was. So you see, the things that we think about and how we think about them has really got to change. This is spiritual evangelism we're talking about. So it says here, our bones are dried, verse 11, our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. You realize we look from this side out through the window at the people out there.
Yes,
and we say, now they don't want God. Otherwise they'd be in here, see, if they really wanted God. Well, they don't want God, so we're going to ignore them. But the people out there, what are they saying? We've been cut off from the people that have got life. We've been cut off. Oh, God, help us today, so that those people out there will begin to understand that we recognize they are part of God.
Yes.
That they were created when you were created. That they came out of the same expression of Christ, of God, the same expression which was Christ Jesus. Right in the beginning, Genesis 1:26, they came out, they were in that Christ Jesus, the same as you.
Amen.
But you're sitting in here, they're out there. we've been cut off from our paths. And I believe that it is the attitude of our mind that has cut them off. Do we believe that God loves so loves the whole world? Of course we do. It's John 3:16. Everybody knows that. For God so loved the world. I mean, that's the world. That's everybody in the world. That means all those people out there and all around right through Grand Rapids and then right across the United States, God loves every one of them and they are part of the Israel of God. But we haven't seen them like that. We've just looked at them as the lost. Well, they're lost. But they're lost because they want to be lost. You know, I mean, God, you know, if they had any kind of desire for you, they would have been in here. Of course they would have. But if they haven't been, so we can't go out and drag them in here. God said, I didn't say anything about dragging anybody anywhere. I didn't tell you about going out there and twisting their arm and forcing them in here. He said, I told you to prophesy. And that's what you haven't done. Oh, ye dry bones, you have heard the voice of the Lord. And therefore, you will hear it again. Listen. And God says, I'll put the breath in them. I'll cause the bones to come together. I'll put the whole thing together. Amen. You won't have to do anything. You can just watch. You'll hear the clinking noise. That's the bones coming together. You see? So it says here, verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I have opened your graves. Not I will, I have. This is how the Hebrew reads. I have opened your graves. And I've caused you to come up out of your graves and will bring you into the land of Israel. This is the Israel of God. I've already done it. He said, I've opened the graves. What are you waiting for? We're waiting for a voice. We're waiting for a voice that will prophesy. And say, O ye dry bones, you have heard the voice of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Therefore you will hear it again now. You see, this is spiritual evangelism.
Yes, sir.
And today I believe that God would challenge us with this. And I wanted to leave this word with you. Because this word has been heavy on my heart. As I have sought to understand why we have the situation that we have. And because I preach the gospel of the kingdom, as I look around today, I look out across the world and I say, God, I'm finding it difficult to understand how you're going to do this thing whereby all the kingdoms of this world will be united and become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. I'm not sure. How is this going to happen, Lord? Because under the present circumstance, I don't think so. I don't think so. Something has to change. I believe this is part of the answer. Not all of the answer. It's part of the answer. But you and I have to have a change of thinking. We've got to start to think about the people out there very, very differently. You've got to start to understand that your neighbors, God knows every one of them.
Yes, sir.
They may be drunkards, they may be all kinds of crazy people, but I want to tell you, God knows them. He knows them and he knew them before they were created, before they were formed on this earth. They were created in Christ Jesus the same as you. So therefore, God knows them. They came out of God in the beginning. And then when they all come together, we have the house of Israel. And it's complete. And this will be the kingdom of God. So may God bless you this morning. May he encourage you, help you, and cause you to know that he wants to change your mind today and then change your heart, or perhaps change your heart first and then change your mind. And then you will begin to see, as you understand, you have the right, in fact, you have a responsibility. Prophesy. Don't go out and preach to them. Don't go out there and tell them they're sinners and they're going to go to hell unless they believe God or something else. Just prophesy and watch the bones come together. May God bless you.